you guys are so nice. Thank you for coming out tonight. I see some people who don't usually come out, and they came out just to listen. Oh, so nice. So nice. I'm honored. Hasn't this been the most amazing series? I have been, how many of you have been, heard maybe four or five of this 10-week prayer? You would think prayer maybe not such the best topic. It has been so remarkable. I've loved every single one. And I've had this this impression that have you ever seen those craft books for children where you rub the pencil, and then if you rub the pencil, then the image appears underneath? I feel like it's hard to talk about prayer. You can't really get your finger on it. So we've all been just like coloring like this. And the image is getting clearer and clearer and clearer. And I think that's why I've been enjoying it so much. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, I am asking you to speak to each of us and to give us understanding through the sharing, through the stories, and the way only you can do. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. We're listening. Amen. So prayer is very other dimensional. And so that I think that's why people have been telling so many stories. And, you know, some people have been giving a little bit of Bible scripture. Some people have been a lot of stories. And I was thinking that it's a little bit like the wind. Have you ever heard of the little poem, you know, the one Winnie the Pooh, A.A. Milne, this one? No one can tell me, nobody knows, where the wind comes from, where the wind goes. It's flying somewhere as fast as it can. I couldn't keep up with it, not if I ran. But if I stop holding the string of my kite, it would blow with the wind for a day and a night. And then, when I found it, wherever it blew, I should know that the wind had been going there too. So then I could tell them where the wind goes. But where the wind comes from, nobody knows. And in hindsight, we can always tell where the prayer has taken us, because we find the kite on the ground. But the specifics of the prayer, it's other dimensional. And I think that's why I've liked everyone's approach. Everyone has been so unique. And it's because we're all talking about something that's not linear. It's something that's other dimensional. So around here, we believe in all kinds of prayer. So I'm getting really fancy, and I'm going to have a scripture. I've never done a scripture before. There it is. I have a scripture. I usually just, that kind of stuff confuses me. So, yes, Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And this is from the Amplified. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer. When Patty taught, she shared about praying your passion in the furnace. Because we like all kinds of prayers. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. All kinds of prayers. We've really made it a priority around here. and we have put our money where our mouth is. When we had the old build, just this portion of the building, you're in the old portion of the building, before we had the sanctuary, we had an option of what to do with our current prayer room. How many of you have been in our current prayer room called the Furnace? It is amazing. You can really feel the presence of the Lord in there. But that was originally a museum, and there was a massive concrete pillar in the middle of it. But we knew it needed to be our prayer room. And not only that, it was the only part of the building that touched both the old build structure and the new structure. So we really wanted to keep it. But we didn't realize that it would be so hard and so time-consuming and so difficult to tear out that pillar. And Charles would come home every day and said, "We jackhammered all day and we got 1.5 inches. We jackhammer all day. We got 3 inches today." And was it like $10,000? We could have built another room, but it would have been it wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have been. It was a priority. And we didn't really have the money for it, but we did it anyway. And you know, we didn't really have the money for it, but we bought the Braywood House. We call it the Braywood House. It's a house that's just a few yards from here, through the woods, so that people can stay there and pray in the night here at Life Center. But we didn't really have the money for it. But we had it as a priority. And you know what? God is crazy about that. And he has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us because we've made it a priority the best way we know how. So it's other dimensional, all kinds of prayer at all times, and we've made it a priority. So now I'm going to tell you just a little bit of our own personal history of mine and Charles, of our prayer journey. And when you add it all up, it's a little bit like a university of prayer. You could call it UP, up, I decided, because my granddaughter goes to University of Florida, and that's UF. I said, we can call this UP. So there were multiple courses that we experimented with. And the first one was a 7-year intercession prayer meeting that went from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock one night a week. And then we fasted for that day, and then all night 3 times a year. And it was full of all kinds of experiments and all kinds of learning. And you're really, really lucky that you were not a part of that. I'll just tell you some of the nutcase stuff we did. Because we were experimenting, we were trying, and we were young. And we would have nights where we only could pray scripture. Then we'd have nights where we had to be silent all night and just do silent prayer. Charles thought of all these things. Then we had shouting, passionate declaration till we had sore throats and nearly passed out. You know how you get lightheaded if you scream too much? Oh, that one was really hard for me. Then we had nights where we only spoke in tongues all night. Nights where we only prophesied all night. Times where we only read the word all night. We had times where we only did deliverance all night long. We had times, of course, where we only did worship all night. And we even had some nights where we did Jewish dancing all night. So maybe, you know, this is what the Jews do. Avinu Shalom Alechem. We tried everything. You know, the Lord really loved our heart. He loved our heart that we were willing to do everything we thought we might have heard the Lord saying. And it was definitely an experimental ride. There were times where we just did prayer walks and prophetic actions. One of the big deals was Reese Howe's Intercessor. We all read it, and we just, okay, we're gonna live our lives Reese Howe's Intercessor way. And of course, other great prayer books. We would use those as our models. Sometimes we'd only pray the prayers of the saints. Sometimes we would only pray and sing hymns all night. But most of the time, we blended all these crazy things together. You really were lucky. You weren't part of the learning curve, but we did learn a lot. And we found some results. The results is that it changed us. When we started our prayer meeting, Charles asked the other pastor of the church, would it be okay if I started a meeting on Wednesday nights, and these are, you know, the people we're going to have in our meeting, there's about 20 of us, and the other young pastor said, sure, I mean, I don't really, those are like really the losers. So I don't care, I don't mind at all. And it was really, he called it like, oh, well, you know, worst people in the church kind of thing. 7 years later, the same pastor was so irritated because he said, how did you get the best people in the whole church come into your prayer meeting? They were the exact same people. They were the exact same people. You see, prayer changes us. The next thing I really learned during this set of 7 years was Charles is a magnificent prayer. He has the words. And what would happen was he would pray a prayer, and it would be so lovely, elaborate, so from the higher perspective that everyone would go, yeah, well, what else is there to pray now? And there was another lady there who had this very same remarkable gift. She ended up being a great author for a homeschool curriculum, became very famous, extremely art. And then there were two others that were medium articulate gifted. So there's these four people out of 20 who can really pray. And what are the rest of us going to be doing? And after all that time and all that fasting, I thought, this is sort of a big waste. You know, I'm coming, I'm getting a babysitter, and I'm not even praying. But what I found out is a couple of times I was sick or my children were ill, and I couldn't go. And I was so excited when Charles came home, and I'd say, tell me about the prayer meeting. And it was a big part of our life. Tell me about the prayer meeting. And he'd say, well, you know, we couldn't really find the vein. Really couldn't get there. When that happened every single time I wasn't there, I realized that even though I wasn't a fancy prayer, I knew I was leaning over and whispering to Charles, I got a picture, I think we should pray about this. And that's when I learned everybody is important in prayer. Not just the fancy, mouthy people. Everybody is important in prayer. All kinds of prayer. That's why we go for all kinds of prayer. Everyone is important in prayer. When you come together, everyone, 1 Corinthians 4:26, when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, and all these must be done for the strengthening of the church, or Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, it's all the varieties together that build the whole. So it's our variety, it's our differences, it's all of us together. So don't feel like you can't come to the prayer room or come to a prayer meeting, because your part is very, very significant. And then thirdly, we found out we were praying our future. You know, the next isn't going to happen unless we pray. We only found it out, like some of the things after we came, we made it, after we came to Pennsylvania, we kept saying over and over again, "What we prayed for this in California, and now it's happening here." Over and oh, remember when we prayed this? Remember when we prayed this over and over and over again? And it became very clear to us that that the future depends on what we pray. So the next really isn't going to happen unless. Unless we pray. And it reminds me of some of the things that have transpired in our prayer room. I don't know if you know our missionaries in the Middle East called the Scrobots. They came to pray 40 nights. They felt they were supposed to pray 40 nights all night in the furnace. And when they were done praying 40 nights in the furnace, the Lord sent them to the Middle East. What was that, 10 years ago? 10 years ago, they haven't returned since. So when we pray, we get our direction, we get our future. I think the youth has recently prayed. I might be wrong, but I think the youth interns have recently they were praying for our event coming up, and I'm just so blessed and honored every time I hear and know that someone is praying. So more parts of the University of Prayer. Larry Lee, could you not tarry 1 hour? How many were a part of that? That was all over the nation. Brian mentioned that he was coloring on that spot. And I said, yep. And he's quite a bit younger than I am, lived all the way on the other side of the nation. This was a phenomena. Well, Larry Lee, could you not tarry 1 hour, learning to pray the Lord's Prayer, ended up becoming a... it started a chain reaction in our life. I'll just say it that way. Because everyone in the church was getting up at 6 o'clock and praying between 6 and 7, it just catapulted us into the next. Now, the concept was that you would have a desire, and then you would have the discipline, and then it would turn into delight. And so the people had the desire, and they used the discipline to get up early. I don't know how many people got to delight, but it started to supercharge our lives, and that's that was pretty much the beginning of launching us from California to Pennsylvania. Another type of prayer that I learned during that season was from the older people in our church. And the older ladies had these prayer calendars. And every day there was a prayer for a country. And it was a World Missions prayer calendar. And it told the percentage of the country that was believers. And so every day, I would pray for a different country. I was really excited to find out. I told Charles, I said, I just really got a burden for one of the countries. I don't remember the name of it now, but I remember Charles coming home from work, and I said, "This country is really on my heart." And I was super blessed to find out Charles had gone to a meeting in Los Angeles and found out, heard a testimony from a person from that country who said, yeah, we had 0.0%, 1% Christians, and now there's been this huge turnover, and we have like 10% Christians. And he was able to come back and tell me the testimony of my prayer, which you usually never get in that kind of situation. But it was enough to tell me this stuff is real. And that's a discipline of prayer. But all of these parts were beautiful, and they were part of our University of Prayer. One of the famous prayer people of our time was Joy Dawson. And you may have heard this story Charles telling. We played all of her prayer tapes for our special school. And at the end of the prayer tape, there was the question, do you want the blowtorch method? Or do you want the slow drip method? So Charles would tell us, got the group together and said, okay, all the people who want the blowtorch method, stand up and come and stand on this side of the room, right over here. And a few people didn't participate. And then there's only one person who's standing in the drip method. Because I think incremental is really smart. You know, slow, steady growth. But they're looking at me like, what's that? Like the Indian water torture. Like drip, 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 drip. And so I thought, it's probably a bad idea for my husband to be on the blowtorch method and for me to be in the category of the drip, drip, drip method. So I said, okay, well, I'll go to the blowtorch method. And it wasn't 6 months before our whole lives fell apart. Seriously, every part of our lives fell apart because he was launching us into the next. And it happened really fast and really concentrated, and it really was the blowtorch method. It was the blowtorch in our lives. So we had started this training school, and most of it was based on prayer. There was this one woman in the prayer in our school. We mostly had younger people, but she was in her 50s. Name was Bonnie, and she said, "I prayed, and I felt like the Lord told me to give you this tape." Back then, we had like cassette tapes, and she gave me the tape, and I didn't have time to listen to it, and then I got one day off from homeschool because Charles took the kids on a field trip. And so I played this tape and I thought, this is pretty great. I think I'll invite this lady to do our women's retreat. Well, when I invited her to do the women's retreat, I found out she was best friends with Iverna Tompkins. And so we made friends with Iverna Tompkins because of that. And then the lady who wrote the letter from Pennsylvania who got us to come to from California, Pennsylvania, wrote the letter to Iverna Tompkins. And so had Bonnie not given me the little tape and done her little part, we wouldn't be here today. And Bonnie, she was a prayer lady. And right after we left, she said, "I just feel like I want to go to Jerusalem and stay there and be buried there." So she moved to Jerusalem. She stayed there. She died like 6 years later and was buried in Jerusalem. But she was quiet in our meeting. Everybody counts. Everybody counts. She might have been the most significant one of all. And she just said, "I prayed, and I thought I should give you this tape." Charles was always getting pastors together to pray. And so after he moved her to Pennsylvania, there was a young girl in Anastasia's class, and her father was a pastor as well, Raleigh Wingfield. So they got together and they started praying, and soon other pastors started praying, and a whole prayer network started here in the regional area, based on just two little pastors getting together to pray. And there is a lot of prayer unity here in the area. And it's transpired and evolved, and I think a lot of the power and the presence of God in this area is based in the unity of prayer that started 32 years ago with just Raleigh Wingfield, an inner city black pastor, and Charles. They started praying to get, well, you know, Raleigh, yeah. And then based on that, we started the Capitol prayer on the Capitol steps and the March for Jesus and the YWAM carrying the torch. And Brian talked about some of these things, so that's a little bit of our history. So I wanted to talk some about the results from various types of prayer. I can tell that a kite landed somewhere, and so that means, oh, prayer brought it there. The wind brought it there. And so one of the things that I identified in hindsight was worship prayer. Worship. So I wrote this song, the first song I ever wrote. And the words, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Here am I, send me. Blow upon me, O wind of God. Move upon me, O spirit of the Lord. Prepare my heart, Lord of the harvest. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here am I, send me. Now, I was learning different keys, so I played this song over and over and over and over. I only had 5 chords, so I could play. I was just making sure I could play every single key, because when they started to sing in a different key, I wanted to make sure I could play in that key. So I played this song a million times. Now, what I didn't know is I was singing my destiny. I thought, now I'd never planned to go anywhere, and the only, what I thought it meant to me was at the grocery store. Because that was the only place I ever went where I didn't know everybody. I knew almost everyone, but I could count on my hand a couple of people I didn't know in the small town we lived. And after all, Charles's mother had taught every kid how to read in the town, and it was a small area, and my whole family lived there, and Charles' whole family lived there, and we knew everybody. But every once in a while, there was a couple of people in the grocery store that I didn't know, and I thought, okay, here am I, send me. And I thought that's what it meant, and I really thought that's what I was praying when I was singing it. You know, and sometimes now we sing, make me a vessel, make me an offering. Jesus, make new wine out of me. And some of us are like me, and they were just singing it naively, and God causes these things to transpire in our lives. But some of us know what we're singing, and we're a little reluctant, but we sing it anyway. I've watched you singing these anyway when I know some of your lives, and that is holy and beautiful and powerful. Prayer of worship. Prayer of giving. An interesting thing that dawned on me the other day is that I had given to the, about 12 years ago, I'd given some money to the Joyce Myers ministry. And I didn't realize it, but right after that time, my younger sister, who is not a believer, began to listen to Joyce Meyer and became a Christian. Isn't that crazy? Our money is a prayer. Our giving is a prayer. I know all of you understand this because you are the first fruits people. You are the people who understand this concept and love this concept. And honestly, Marcy and I get worried about first fruits because we start thinking, what if somebody gets confused and gets the wrong idea and think it's like a magic protocol, something, if you do this, then you get this. And what if somebody gets disappointed? And I'm always worried that someone will get confused and get disappointed. But you know what? Nobody gets confused or disappointed. We have the most awesome, mature, wise church and people. It's just astounding to me. Because you know that it's not a good luck charm. Or you understand that it's the concept of giving. And I'm not even good at putting into words, but I understand, and I'm always blessed and so super surprised that nobody comes afterwards and says, I'm confused. Wait a minute. I gave this, and I thought I was supposed to have this kind of prayer answered. And people don't get confused because you are people who understand this bigger, broader picture. You understand it as a prayer gift. And this is a different kind of prayer giving, but it's not exactly finances. But my daughter's best friend in California was married for 17 years, and she didn't have biological children, and she adopted 5 children. And that's a beautiful gift of giving. And it's a holy gift of giving. And then, at age 42, with no in vitro fertilization and nothing's changed at all, she gets pregnant, has a big, beautiful 10-pound healthy boy. The gift of giving. There's this power of prayer in the gift of giving. You are people like that. I hear amazing and remarkable stories all the time of your gifts of giving. So there's worship prayer, there's giving prayer. I wanted to talk just a little tiny bit about scripture prayer. When I was about 5 years old in the Lord, my mother passed away. So I was pretty young in the Lord. And I had led her to the Lord near the end of her life, 6 months before her death. But she was mostly she was pretty much just bedridden that whole time. And after she passed away, I began to be paralyzed by a lie. And these scriptures kept coming to me. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom. But faith without any works is dead. And I knew she hadn't done any works because she just laid in bed the whole time. I had these scriptures that had come to me and it paralyzed me. And I mean, I was seriously paralyzed with these lies that my mother was definitely not a Christian and she was not in heaven. And so finally I got brave enough to tell Charles. The children were in bed, and I know right where he was standing in the kitchen. And I remember it like it was so significant. It was so clear. I remember it so clearly. And with each scripture that I gave to him, he said a scripture back. And when I said, Lord, Lord, not all the people who say Lord, Lord will. Enter into the kingdom. Then he returned with Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And he just said it back so quickly, and I could hear whoosh. I actually heard the sound in the spirit of the sword of the Lord cutting the lie. And every time I gave a scripture, he threw one back at me. When I was trying to say, faith without works is dead, he said, but the thief on the cross, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He hadn't done any works. And it was like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I had four frightening scriptures, and he had four frightening scriptures more for the devil to speak back, and I was permanently free. I never had a doubt again. And that was scripture prayer that provided deliverance for me. So there's scripture prayer. There's the power of scripture in prayer. And it's twice now that I've used scripture and actually heard the audible sound of a sword whishing. Our youngest daughter was dating someone who we knew wasn't the best person for her to marry, and it was very troublesome to me. And we we'd come home from a night meeting at church. And though I'd prayed so often, this was a unique night. And I remember it was pitch black in the living room, and you would have thought I was a crazy girl. But I was swinging my arms around like a wild woman, and I was saying, can captives be retrieved from the fierce? Yes. Captives can be retrieved from the fierce. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. You know, I'm like a maniac. Wah! And I could hear it. I could hear the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I know right where I was standing, pitch black. And then I say, okay. And I go to bed. And a few seconds later, the door would go click, click, and my daughter had come home, and she was dropping this boyfriend off who didn't have a car, didn't have insurance. She drove him around. She had to bring him to church. So she had just dropped him off. She was three. I found out later, so this happened two nights in a row. She was three blocks away. When I was doing that, she was breaking up with him. But I didn't know it. And it was the power of the word of the Lord. Again, I heard the power of scripture like a sword. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Now, we don't always get our prayers answered, and that's a whole nother thing that I'm not going to go into tonight. But because some of us have prayed a long time with no apparent answers, but we don't give up, and we get others to pray who are maybe a little step more removed. Sometimes they have a greater faith because they're not so embroiled in the whole thing. And sometimes the answers come past our lifetime. So we have prayer of worship, prayer of giving, prayer of scripture. How about this prayer of evangelism? I know we have, a lot of you have heard of treasure hunting, where you pray and then you get a sense, hey, we're supposed to pray for a person with a red shirt or something like that. Well, this was my kind of prayer for evangelism. I had new little kids, kids 2 and 4, and there was a lady who lived behind me, and we were in the mountains, and she had a 3-year-old, and I was praying for her, and the Lord said to me, I was praying for her to become a Christian, and the Lord told me to go with her every day to walk with her to the mailbox. It was over 1/4 mile to the mailbox, and so we walked to the mailbox and back every single day with our 2-year-old, 4-year-old. She had a 3-year-old. I found out eventually she did become a Christian and married. She was in a very abusive relationship. She married one of Charles's best friends. And she told me at that point, she said, I was so distressed by the idea of living by a pastor's wife that I told myself, if you'd ever even mentioned God, I was out of here. And so I was directed by God to only go for walks with her and never talk about God. And that friendship was what led her, and it became her safety net in her very scary, scary time of her life. And then I also prayed for a coworker. I said, how can I pray? How can I lead this girl to the Lord? And the Lord just said, I want you to read during the lunch break, read out loud The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So I'm reading this storybook to her every day at lunch. And when Aslan takes Edmund's place, she falls apart, starts crying, and wants to accept the Lord. So prayer, there's prayer evangelism. And there's also praying in tongues. I'll tell you a quick story about praying in tongues. Our older daughter used to babysit a 3-year-old who had obstinance defiance disorder, and no one could babysit this child except my daughter. And finally I asked her, how are you babysitting this child? I mean, he would go to burn down the house and do all these different things. I mean, he was this serious. No one could babysit this child except our older daughter. She said, well, when he starts to get trouble, I speak in tongues. And he gets real quiet. And he says, what are you saying? What are you doing? And he always just calms right down, and he wants to listen to me speaking in tongues. So there was something on the spiritual realm there where she was able to calm an evil spirit by speaking in tongues. Prayer with prophetic action. We had a prayer. Let's see if I'm getting fast enough. Maybe I am not fast enough. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I need to talk faster. Okay. Prayer with prophetic action. We had a prayer class on 13th Street, and we were advised to bring pictures or items for people who needed prayer. Nobody knew my daughter was in trouble, and she didn't want anyone to know that she was missing in action, our oldest daughter. And so I brought her stuffed bear, and I put it on the table. And at the end of the meeting, a woman came up and held the bear a woman I didn't know, and she cried and cried and cried. And I was really touched by it. When I got home, my daughter called me, my missing daughter. And she said, "You called?" I said, "No." She said, "When did I call?" "Oh, an hour ago you called. I was at that meeting." The woman was holding the bear. I said, she said, "You left the message." I said, "Well, what did I say?" She said, "Mom, knock it off. I know your voice." And now I knew where she was, and I knew she was okay. What? A lady prayed for a bear as a prophetic action, and it caused an angel to call my daughter, who called me back? How do these things happen? This is a lady in prayer. Prayer is crazy powerful. And modern technology, there's the old fashion of holding the bear, but one of my favorite moments when Tiffany was ill, I asked John, are they here tonight still? No, maybe they ran home. The Aikens, I asked John, I said, "John, if you could just post that she needs prayer on Facebook," and it was crazy. Everyone wrote the same thing. I'm playing Tiffany's album. I'm playing I think it was the God of the Impossible. Everybody had done the same thing. And it was a chance we were able to see it. So there's technology that can be a great blessing in prayer. I know Benny Hinn was really super crazy blessed at the Send when they said, "If you've been healed, light up your phone." And the whole stadium lit up. And the power of technology, even in prayer, so, so special. Okay, prayer supplements. I'm going to go through these super fast. There's fasting, which is like lifestyle fasting, and some people alluded to some of these. Some people do no television or limited tech. I mean, these are supplements that strengthen your prayer, and some of them are very, very specific to only you. A lot of them we don't share, keep it to yourself, kind of let's not talk about it category, but sometimes we do share them, and not in order to copy or to boast or to have it be a formula, but that it stirs us on. It stirs us to, and it also helps us feel better. I mean, I'm going to share this quick story here. We were in a meeting on 19th Street, on 13th Street. Larry Randolph was sharing how he was sharing about prophetic things, but he just popped off real quickly with, "Well, you know, I just can't stay in any hotel room. You know, some hotel rooms bother me." And my husband is sitting next to him, and he looks at me, and he just went into a little bit of an explanation about how he can feel what's happened in the room. And just his willingness to share that totally got me free, because now my husband doesn't think I'm crazy anymore. And the very next week, we go to stay in a bed and breakfast, and we walked into a room. It was a big, beautiful room, and I said, "I can't stay in this one." And he rolls his eyes, and he said, "Okay." And then we went over to this other one. It was little and wasn't very special. It was cute, but it wasn't like the big room. I said, "Yeah, this one's okay." And we went down the stairs, and the first thing the people yakety 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 in the bed and breakfast say, "Did you know that there's ghosts in room 8 and room 13? Well, I'd been in room 8. That's the one I didn't want to go into. And he said, "Okay, I'll believe you." Anyway, sometimes people have shared things, like Larry Randolph just saying some weird little thing, and it actually helped. helped someone somewhere. So some of the things that we've shared, like Chandi sharing about some of the things his mother did, that's not boasting. It's to help us understand, and then we can say we're not crazy, or we're okay. It's okay that really happens to me too, kind of thing. Okay, prayers of prophetic actions. Like, we've done a lot of that around here. Like, Sue and I got bags of milk and honey, containers of milk and honey, and we painted them all over the wall in the prayer room before we painted. And we didn't let anybody know. Now you know. But I was worried. Ants, mice. I mean, we painted that whole thing with milk and honey. Okay. We've done one bottle of oil and one bottle of wine on every corner of the property. Oh, of course, there's scripture verses and different things and stakes in the corners and all kinds of goofy things. And, well, I mean, it's nothing compared to the scripture. Ezekiel had to lay on his side for a year and eat food cooked over dung, and Isaiah was naked. Hosea had to marry a prostitute. If you throw a stick in the water, an axe head's going to float, and you could throw salt into the spring, and it's going to be good to drink. If you put a snake on a stick, you can stop a plague. You could hit the ground with an arrow, or hit the rock, or hit the Jordan with a cloak. There was really lots of hitting going on in the Bible. Lots and lots of hitting. And it all seems strange out of context, but sometimes we're asked to do prophetic actions. Now, this is a secret. Nobody knows about this, and I'm hoping it never gets to my daughter. Okay, I have a little, I had a 6-year-old, 7-year-old grandson, and he had an aunt who was an unbeliever and had given, and he'd been, this 7-year-old was having lots of trouble. And he, his aunt had given him, he's a very precocious reader, given him a book on how to do curses and on witchcraft. And we were at the house, and I took it. And I brought home, when I got home, I opened up the suitcase. I said, "Hon, I done something. I took a book." And about 2 hours later, I hear this funny noise. And Charles is out in the garage, sawing it in half with a chainsaw. So bad. But the best part is this. Our grandson had been having episodes. They didn't know if they were seizures. They didn't know what they were. And that was on the weekend. By Tuesday night, the teacher had called and said, "The episodes are gone." Go figure. Oh my goodness, I'm just gonna have to move away from here. Oh, I will share this very last part then. I wanted to share about two little things. I want you to find your favorites. I know a lot of people pray on their knees, but I need to pray walking. And so I have this 1/3 of a mile little wilderness right by my house that I'm so blessed. And after we lived there 15 years, the owner of the property came to me, came onto the property while I was there praying. And I shook his hand and said, "I'm Ann, I'm your neighbor, I live." He says, "Oh, I know, you're the lady who walks back and forth." 4 hours. He says, for hours you walk back and forth. And I said, well, I'm keeping your property safe. He says, I know, the neighbors say you're praying. It might look weird, the thing that you need to do to find the thing that you need to do to find your favorite way. But it was fine with him. He is okay with me to walk back and forth on his property. But you never know how you're going to pray when something when something intense happens or in a critical situation. And those prayers you think are really Holy Spirit led. So I wanted to share this quick story with you, and I'm going to read it so it goes faster, about when Charles fell and got a concussion, and then he said, I'm fine. And we were at the river. At the creek in our backyard, and he went down into the creek, and he was assessing the damage and removing the mud from the beach, but I'm up on the bank assessing the cleanup needed, you know, on the stone walkway. And I don't have any idea how long I had my eyes on the path, but I turned back around to see that Charles was swimming jerkily in 2 feet of water on our beach. So I yelled at him, stop fooling around, that's not funny. And as soon as the words were out of my mouth, I realized, uh-oh, I could tell it was no joke, and he was completely submerged under the water, having what I thought looked like a seizure. So terror grips me, and my stomach drops to the ground to end the slow motion dream. You know that slow motion dream where you can't get there fast enough? That was real life. And I don't even remember how I inched my way through the slippery mud 20 feet closer to the top of the steps, but I couldn't get down the bank to save him. And he's under the water, unconscious, and all I can do is scream. And the only thing that comes out is I scream his name. And I've really never screamed with so much emotion or force in my life. But our entire 50 years flashed before me. All of the love and all of the regrets, and I don't know how it's possible in 3 seconds for an entire life to flash, but all I know is I experienced it, and I screamed his name, Charles, again. But this time I spoke with a declaration. This is not how the story ends. And I screamed his name again. Now, this time, it was like a half request and a half declaration. But I can see he's still writhing under the water, and I want to lift his head, but I can't get down the bank, and I can only call to him. I'm calling Charles, and I'm commanding him to live. You will not leave me. Come back. And now, on this fifth scream, I was just stinking mad at him. And I said, get back here. Because you're not leaving me here with the memories. I can't do it. I'm mad. I'm so mad. I'm furious. And from laying down, it's not even possible, he goes to complete standing. It's not like he got up. He just went, zoop. Now, he's still not breathing, and he's barely conscious, and he's going, I said, oh, no. He tips backwards. He's down the current, and I can't get him. And so I said, get down, crawl up the bank. So as soon as he crawled up the bank, I was beaten on his back, and the mud and the water was all coming out. And finally, he threw his head back. And when he threw his head back, he unhooked he had had a automatic, it was like a larynx reaction, and he unhooked his larynx and was able to breathe again. And now, I didn't plan to pray that way. That was just God-directed prayer. Now, can I tell you from his perspective? He was having so much fun. He said, "There, it was all twinkly and sunlight and bright, and he was on his way out." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I heard you calling me." And it was like, he said, "You were patting me on the arm, and you were like 25 years old. And you're saying, 'Charles, Charles.'" And that was where his arm's all ripped up. That's where he thought I was just like patting him. And he thinks I'm saying it's so nice, but I'm screaming like a crazy maniac. But he hears this, "Charles." He said, "I heard you say Charles, so I got up." What? And you can't plan how you're going to pray when it's a desperate prayer. But you will pray. If you're a believer, you will pray. And that's another kind of prayer altogether. So why don't you go ahead and play? Why don't you stand up? And so I hope I've rubbed a little more pencil on the picture and you've gotten a little clearer image of the whole picture of prayer. But I think what I'd like to do is just very quickly... I want to thank you for your prayer life. Whether it was in a crisis and you prayed, or it's in the furnace or in your home, or whether you pray in an intense way or a quiet way or a loud way or an unusual way. Thank you. And I want to tell you that your prayer counts. And I want to invite you to experiment and be provoked by all these stories that you've been hearing these last 10 weeks and a few more from Yadira next week. And your prayer counts because all types of prayer count. And the types of prayer there are the types that are an expression of just you. Brianna dances in the prayer room. That's how she wants to pray. And if you get two engineer eggheads together, like Jeff Wendell and Charles Stock, they want to read the Bible out loud, every word of it, and declare every word of it, and so they have done that. Got together and read the whole Bible from every strange little part of Leviticus out loud as a declaration, because all kinds of prayer count. So I want to encourage you. Thank you for your type of prayer. And we all pray specific ways. I know when Sue Roby was ill, I felt a great burden to pray for Ed as her caretaker, and also a prayer for her fear and anxiety when she was going to go through the surgery and have to have this chemo and all these things that she had to endure. And someone else was praying something else. And it takes a whole army of people to pray someone through. But your type of prayer, the thing you want to pray for, is super important. I know we're not going to get to the next without prayer. And the Jesus During the Jesus movement, all the old ladies would come up to me and said, you know, we had the cottage prayer movement right before this all happened. Because prayer precedes everything. So thank you for your prayers, because we are moving forward in such a beautiful way, such a powerful way. And I want to close by saying this, that, and Chandi had no idea that that God had brought that same scripture to me, that you are the nevertheless kind of people. When he comes to you and says, yeah, but we toiled all night. But nevertheless, we will drop our nets on the other side. Yeah, but if you eat my body and drink my blood, and all the people left, and they said, where else can we go? You have the words of life. Even though it's crazy, it's against our Jewish law, but nevertheless, you have the words of life. That's the kind of people here at Life Center. I've heard people say, he is able, he is willing, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and even if he doesn't, nevertheless, and Jesus was the best example when he said, could you let this cup pass? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So Charles and I, one of our biggest conversations at home is just when we think it can't get any better, we hear another story of another amazing, devoted life in person. And we're just so honored. I think Patty and I were talking about it today. We're just so honored. And someone else will hear another story and we say, we're just so honored by your prayer life, but by your devotion, by your sacrifice. And I only want to encourage you into more. I want to encourage you by the things that you've heard and the things that stirred your heart. And you said, yeah, I want to do that. I want to do that. So it's getting late, so I'm just going to bless you. Lord, I just want to commission this group to go to the next level. I want you, Holy Spirit, to speak to each one and provoke them into the next. And as you provoke us into what you have for us, we know the next will be upon us. And we're so grateful. Thank you. And we always have a prayer team if you need that. But it's also time to get children if you have children. There'll probably be some prayer people. if you need prayer. And also, yeah, get your kids.